As you can see in the bulletin, there are a few scriptures to read. The one out of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19, officially is our text, although we will spend most of our time unfolding the Deuteronomy 25 and the Ephesians 4 passage. But Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19, we heard it already in Exodus 20. The eighth commandment says simply, "You shall not steal." That's what Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19 says, "You shall not steal." And so we turn then, with that in mind, to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And we'll read there verses 13 to 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And there the scripture says, "You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God." Then, having read that passage, we turn forward to the New Testament. And we look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28. Those letters in the New Testament surrounding Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians, chapter 4, looking at verse 28. The apostle doesn't exactly quote the eighth commandment, but he refers to it. And he says in verse 28, as he teaches the church and instructs them and us how it is we are called to live before God, he says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." So that ends then our survey of those passages from God's Word. Remembering Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19, the passage we read from Deuteronomy chapter 25 and Ephesians chapter 4. And as well, as we make our way through the Ten Commandments, we also follow the sequence of Lord's Days in the Heidelberg Catechism. And this morning we read from Lord's Day 42. Lord's Day 42 is going to help give some structure and some shape to our sermon this morning. And it has two questions for us, question 110 and question 111. And it asks then, that's on page 40 in that tan booklet, it asks, what does God forbid in the eighth commandment? The answer says that God forbids not only such theft and robbery as are punished by the magistrate, but he also brands as theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we aim to appropriate our neighbor's goods, whether by force or by show of right, as unjust weights, ells, measures and wares, false coins, usury, or any other means forbidden by God. Likewise, all covetousness and all abuse and waste of his gifts. And then the next question, noticing in question 110, it asks us what God forbids in the eighth commandment. Now it asks us, what does God require of you in the eighth commandment? So we have both the negative, as it were, and the positive. And what God requires of us in the eighth commandment, and it teaches us to confess this individually, is that I further my neighbor's profit wherever I can or may, that I deal with him as I would have others deal with me, and that I labor faithfully, that I may be able to relieve the needy. You could hear many of the things we read from those passages in God's Word reflected there in those two answers in Lord's Day 42. Congregation, it is written, "You shall not steal." That's the eighth of the Ten Commandments as we find them in the Bible. And basically, this commandment is God's rule concerning property. As we saw, the Catechism does an excellent job in outlining both what is forbidden in these words and what is required in them. And so in questions 110 and 111, we have, as it were, two sides of the coin that make up the Eighth Commandment. And in teaching us what the commandment forbids, as well as what it requires, the full weight and breadth of God's law is pressed in upon us, and it comes near to us. Because to refrain simply from stealing, as if something as seemingly trivial, although I don't think it is trivial for the record, as though something as seemingly as trivial as walking out of 7-Eleven with a pack of bubblegum in your pocket were all that was in view with the Eighth Commandment. But to refrain simply from stealing, that's only half the matter. The other half of the matter, the other part of the commandment, is found in understanding that you shall not steal also means that you shall seek to promote your neighbor's wealth and possessions. And so not only do we refrain from stealing, even a pack of bubblegum, even something small like that, but in addition to that, for example, we joyfully pay fair market value for all of the goods and services that we receive. And doing that promotes the welfare and the well-being of our neighbor. So as we come to the Eighth Commandment this morning then, and as we continue our study through the law of God, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19, a commandment that's not only important for us to know, not only important for us to understand, but which is also important for us, by God's grace and strength working through us, it's also important for us to seek to live by this commandment. Because ultimately, in this commandment, the two issues of integrity and stewardship come to the foreground. And in calling out to us and saying, "You shall not steal," God is calling out to us and saying, "You shall be a people of integrity, and you shall be faithful stewards of all that I give you, one for another." And so we keep this theme before us. You can see it there in the bulletin, the italicized words. God requires us to be faithful stewards by forbidding us to steal. God requires us to be faithful stewards by forbidding us to steal. And you can see those two words, forbid and require, in the theme, then come down in the points. We'll look at what is forbidden and we'll look at what is required. But God requires us to be faithful stewards, but the wording of the Eighth Commandment is that we're forbidden to steal. And as we come to consider the first of those two points then, that which is forbidden, we hear, as we heard in the answer to question 110, that it tells us, and it would even have us confess together, in agreement, that God forbids such theft and robbery, not only the kind of theft and robbery that's punished by the government or by the magistrate, but it says that He also brands or labels as theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we are aiming or purposing to appropriate or to take our neighbor's goods for ourselves. And it outlines the kind of things, whether by force or show of right, and it goes from there. And while quite a bit is said in that answer, and it's more than a mouthful, that's for sure, yet, at the same time, the basic message of the answer to question 110 is rather simple. And that basic message is that according to the Eighth Commandment, Any form of stealing, whether overt or covert, whether done straightforwardly or with sleight of hand, any form of stealing whatsoever is forbidden by God, being not only punishable by the civil government, but being as well and even more so branded with the hot iron of God's judgment, which labels it as it really is. And so not only is it a sin to hold someone up at gunpoint and demand all of their money. But it would also be a sin, a violation of the Eighth Commandment, to sell something that is worthless as though it were very valuable. Because in those two examples, the one open and obvious, right? It's armed robbery, after all. And the other, more subtle and perhaps potentially unnoticeable, crafty commerce, some might call it. I would label it fraud. But in those two examples, what was sought and what the sin was and what the violation of the Eighth Commandment contained was an illicit desire, an unlawful desire to appropriate or to obtain our neighbor's goods, on the one hand by force, and on the other hand by show of right. As we heard that answer to question 110, at the end it goes on to list various ways in which an unjust appropriation of our neighbor's goods can take place. It mentions unjust weights, ells, measures, and wares. In other words, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 to 16. Unjust business practices. Unjust business practices where one does business under false pretenses. And it continues by mentioning false coins, usury, which is high interest rates, or exceedingly high interest rates, or any other means forbidden by God. That is, unjust business practices where financial gain is obtained through unlawful, illicit, heavy-handed, or even sinful means. Now, all of this relates to that passage we read in Deuteronomy chapter 25 in this way. That passage, Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 to 16, that passage and the law found there as it pertains to God's regulation of Israelite commerce, right? That passage in Deuteronomy 25, it flows from and has its foundation in the Eighth Commandment. And it flows from and has its foundation in the Eighth Commandment because God, in those words, lays down the law whereby He forbids His redeemed people from practicing deceitful business, which in the end amounts to nothing other than theft. The way in which those verses are rendered there in Deuteronomy 25, the wording of those verses, it reflects the style of ancient Israelite culture and commerce. We still use weights and measures in our day. Often they're hidden from us, being prepackaged already. But in ancient Israel, things weren't prepackaged as they are today. Business was done openly with the frequent use of weights and measures. If someone wanted to purchase a measure of flour or of wheat or of some other grain, then they would expect to get what they paid for. Right? Indeed, we could say they had a right to obtain what they paid for. They had a right to get what was expected. They had a right to get what was advertised, if you will. And if they purchased and paid for an ephah of grain, that's the measurement talked about there in Deuteronomy, then they ought to receive just that, an ephah of grain. Certainly no less, and also certainly, I would say, no more. And the principle, okay, the principle behind the kind of dealing that we read about there in Deuteronomy 25, I'll give you the real name of the principle, and I'll try to give you an approximate name for that principle. But the real name of that principle is the principle of reciprocity. Maybe you hear the word reciprocal in there. Don't be thrown off by that word, because all that principle means is that the amount received is equal to the amount that was paid. A tit for tat, if you will. Likewise, if someone was purchasing something by weight, whatever it may have been, then they expected and were entitled to receive the actual amount and weight of whatever it is they were buying. Again, with the weights as well as with the measurements, the principle of reciprocity is in effect. Equal amount for equal pay, whether it pertained to volume or to weight. Okay, and this principle was woven throughout ancient Israel culture and commerce. And for what it's worth, just as a bit of an aside here, that principle of reciprocity, or equal pay for equal value, that same principle is the principle that regulated the justice system in ancient Israel. And as such, that principle of reciprocity, it has its root and its foundation in the character, nature, and being of God Himself. He is the one who is just. And He therefore demands that His people be just and that they practice justice in all their ways. In other words, since God is just, He expects that same kind of justice to be reflected in a creaturely way in us. And this principle then comes into the business dealings of ancient Israel, whether great or small, they're all regulated according to this principle. Business dealings were to be on the level. Okay? They were to be straight up. They were to be honest. They were to be fair. They were to be in harmony with the eighth commandment and with God's standard of justice and equity. And in this way, as God's law was followed, both customer and proprietor, both were the beneficiaries of God's goodness and of His blessing in all their ways. The thing that threw a monkey wrench into the deal, okay? The thing that threw a monkey wrench into the system, the thing that caused this kind of commerce difficulties and dilemmas, was when crooked business was practiced. Crooked business practices that intruded and infiltrated the marketplace. The law there in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 to 16, it's a specific kind of legislation directed against unjust business practices. And by that commandment, God forbids sellers of wares, those who sell what it is they have to sell, God forbids them from having unjust weights, right? A great one, it said in the text, and a small one. What that means is He forbids them from having different kind of, not different weights, like one that weighs this much and one that weighs that much, and both of them weigh what they say they weigh. That's not the different kind of weight God is talking about. What He means by you are not allowed to have differing weights is that you're not allowed to have one that's tried and true, one that's accurate, and one that's false. One that's purposely inaccurate. One that you say weighs 5 pounds, and it actually does weigh 5 pounds. And one that you say weighs 5 pounds, but it actually weighs 3 pounds, or 7 pounds. One where they would sell the price of an ephah of grain for the price of an ephah of grain. And another where they would sell something less than an ephah of grain for the price of an ephah of grain. That's a measurement of volume, I realize, but the principle is still the same. One where they would weigh out the price of their product fairly and uprightly, giving equal value for equal pay. And another, a differing weight, where they would weigh out the purchase price of their product unfairly and unrighteously, giving less than equal value while still receiving the going rate for whatever they sold. See what it's saying there in Deuteronomy chapter 25? And God says in His law that this kind of thing ought not to be so. It has no place among My people, says the Lord. It is, what did it say there in verse 16? An abomination. Perhaps it's worth commenting that that word abomination there in Deuteronomy 25 is the same word used for abomination to describe the kind of things we heard last week in Leviticus chapter 18. So unjust business practices as well as bestiality are labeled the same by the Lord as an abomination in His sight. The word which was spoken in the eighth commandment should sufficiently show that these things are abominable before the Lord. But since injustice and unrighteousness had yet arisen among God's people, that an additional word that paints a particular picture of how the Eighth Commandment applies was provided in the written regulations of the law. And thus, that principle, the principle of reciprocity, the principle of equal amount for equal pay, that principle stands in close relation to the Eighth Commandment. And it's given clear and explicit expression as that which is to regulate the business, practices, and commerce of God's people. But congregation, this isn't a history lesson, right, on what culture and commerce were like in ancient Israel. Wouldn't be bad to have that, but that's not what this is. And so we must realize, too, that these things apply for us, as they did also for ancient Israel. To transgress that commandment outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 25, the principle, even, is to sin against God's law by breaking, fundamentally, God's standard of equity. His standard of equity, which is given expression not just there,